week, we began looking at verses 18 through verse 29. And we see in verse 20, but we have an unction from the Holy One. The result of this unction, which is an anointing, you know all things. You know. As a result of this anointing, you know. Verse 27, but the anointing, which is the same as the unction, describes what the unction is. The anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things. So we see this anointing is personified in the fact that it teaches. It teaches us all things, and this is how we know. And is truth, that is what this anointing teaches. The anointing itself is truth, and the anointing teaches truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, I believe this anointing is speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, of course, is the great teacher. Every child of God, as we all know, have the Holy Spirit abiding in them. And wherever the Holy Spirit abides, he is a teacher. He is a teacher. In John chapter 14, we see Jesus promising the apostles, his church, the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now again, there in 1 John 2, because of this unction, we know all things. That is, he teaches us what is necessary. He teaches us all things that we need to know. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, he teaches. He not only teaches, but he also brings to our remembrance what he taught. And then notice in John 16, verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he, the Spirit of truth, will guide you into, and that word into is very important. It's not unto, but it's into, and there's a big difference between into and unto. He will guide you into all truth. You and I can guide individuals unto truth. We can show them truth. But only God can guide an individual into truth. And the Spirit of God does that, and that's our unction, that's our anointing. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So this anointing that we read of here in 1 John chapter 2, this unction, is the Holy Spirit. And we see that he teaches. Now, the truth that he teaches is pure. The truth that he teaches is unadulterated. This is twice stated here in 1 John chapter 2. In verse 21 we see, no lie is of the truth. In other words, the truth that the Spirit of God teaches us has no mixture whatsoever of what is false. No lie is of the truth. The Spirit of God does not teach lies. The Spirit of God does not teach that which is false. The Holy Spirit gets blamed for a lot of things. An individual teaches or preaches error, and he'll say, this is what the Spirit of God showed me. Well, no, it isn't. The Spirit of God doesn't show you anything that's contrary to truth. He teaches truth. And then it's stated in verse 27, that it is truth and no lie. That is, again, it has no mixture of that which is false. So it is pure, unadulterated truth that the Holy Spirit teaches. And this truth that he teaches is to be adhered to steadfastly. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. That is, the truth that the Spirit of God teaches. You and I have a whole, we have a responsibility concerning that truth. We are to let it, or we are to allow it to abide in us, in that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. It shall remain in us, the truth that the Spirit of God teaches. And again, we have an implication here of what it means for the Spirit of God to teach us. It's in us. When the Spirit of God teaches us something, he puts it in us. That which we have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Now, that's true of the Holy Spirit, but that's also true of the truth that he teaches. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So the Holy Spirit applies knowledge to the heart. Now, I believe that every child of God knows certain truths. There are certain truths that the Holy Spirit teaches to every child of God. One of them we see here in 1 John chapter 2 is, if you, in verse 23, if you deny the Son, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Well, you can't be saved then. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father. There's a group today that calls themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, but they deny the Son. And if they deny the Son, they also have not the Father. If they have not the Father, how can they possibly be his witnesses? And he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So the Spirit of God teaches every saved individual. Doesn't matter that saved individual, before they ever go to Sunday school, before they ever go to church, that saved individual knows some truths about Jesus Christ. They know that he's the Son of God. They know that he is God. They may not be able to explain it, but they know these things. They do not deny Jesus Christ. So every saved person has certain truths that the Spirit of God teaches them. I believe the Spirit of God teaches every saved individual some facts about God himself. I believe every saved person knows these things. Notice in the book of John, chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. That's salvation. I'll raise him up at the last day. But then notice what it says. It is written in the prophets, and they, okay, who's the they? Well, the they is those whom the Father, again, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. The they are those that are drawn. They are those who are drawn to Jesus Christ. They shall be all taught of God. Every one of them shall be taught of God. So, you know, people will say, and to a degree it's true, concerning a babe in Christ, well, they haven't been taught yet. Well, that's true. There are certain things that they have not been taught. But they have been taught. The very moment they're saved, they've been taught some things. The Spirit of God continues to teach them. And so we see this abiding, this unction, gives us a knowledge. And every saved person has some degree of this knowledge. Now, As we saw last week, the word know occurs six times there in 1 John 2, verses 18 through 29. And it's one of the most common words throughout the book of 1 John. It's one of the themes of 1 John. But this knowledge includes understanding. If we know something, then we have some understanding of it. So if God teaches us some things, that means he gives us some understanding. To know something is to recognize it. God causes us to recognize. The Spirit of God within us causes us to recognize some certain things. Knowledge is comprehension. It means that we comprehend certain things. And this unction that we have teaches us and gives us a comprehension. It's also a consciousness. If you know something, you're conscious of it. So if the Spirit of God teaches us, then we are conscious of what the Spirit of God teaches us. In other words, it becomes a part of us. To know something is to have assurance. If you know something is true, you are sure of it. You are certain that it is true. So the Spirit of God gives assurance. And that's why we say that when a person is saved, they know they're saved. They know they're saved. There's none of this, I'm not sure, I hope so. No, when you're saved, you know it. The Spirit of God gives a knowledge of assurance. Knowledge speaks of experience. When you experience something, you know it. So when the Spirit of God teaches us, he's given us the experience of whatever it is that he's teaching. So it is certainty, this knowledge, it's confidence, it's persuasion, it's conviction. And I believe every child of God, what the Holy Spirit teaches them, they are convicted of it. They have a conviction that this is so. So we have here in 1 John chapter 2 this unction. This unction gives us a knowledge. We've already seen it's a knowledge of the times in which we live. 1 John 2 verse 18, it makes us aware of the times in which we live, and we need a knowledge of the times in which we live. But more importantly, it is a knowledge of truth. Verse 21 again, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. So John is saying the purpose of my writing is not because you don't know the truth. The purpose of my writing is because you do know the truth. And that is, I am writing you to remind you of certain things. So this unction causes us to know. To know the truth. It is a knowledge of Christ. It is a knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. This knowledge also consists of a discernment. Now we see here from verse 18, we see that there are antichrists. So it appears that this knowledge is a knowledge to know, to be able to discern the difference between an antichrist and Jesus Christ. It is a knowledge that gives us the ability to be able to discern between truth and error. We've told the story in the past. Shortly after I was saved, perhaps the day after, or no more than 3 days after, some Mormons came to our house. I had no idea what a Mormon was. They knocked on the door. I was saved. I invited them in, and they began to show me things in the Book of Mormon. They showed me a little slide, and the whole time they were there, I knew there's nothing they are saying that is true. This is all lies. Now, I could not defend my position, but I knew that what they were saying was wrong, and that's the Spirit of God. And I believe every saved person has that. There is a discernment. When you hear something, you just know That cannot possibly be so. And it is a discernment between truth and a lie. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, he said, prove all things. Prove all things. Now, to prove something, if you set out to prove something, it means you're going to examine it. You're going to examine it very carefully. You're going to test it. So to prove something is to test whether or not something is genuine. It is to see if something is genuine. And every child of God ought to do that. When you hear something from that people say, this is what the Bible teaches. TV preachers are all the time holding a Bible in their hand. And you can watch them for a half hour and they make not one single reference to that Bible. Not one reference. Don't read a single verse, but they hold it in their hand. And that's just for deception. And people are foolish enough to say and to believe, well, he preaches the Bible. He didn't say a thing about the Bible, but he's holding it in his hand. But you and I need to know how, and the Spirit of God teaches us this, we need to prove all things, and we do so by the Word of God. Well, what does the Bible say? And that's how we prove things. That's how we know if something is genuine. That's how we know if something's true. That's how we know if something is false. That's how we know the difference between right and wrong, between good and bad. So this knowledge is the ability to discern. And all through the Word of God, there is a call for God's people to discern between truth and error, between right and wrong, between what is pure and what is not pure, between God's will and what is not God's will, between God's leading and man's leading. So this knowledge that the Spirit of God gives us is also the ability to make a distinction between right and wrong. Now, in order to make a distinction between right and wrong, that involves judgment. And that is why today the devil is convinced so many, well, we can't judge. Well, if you remove judgment, then you no longer have the ability to discern. And if you lose your ability to discern, you fall for anything. You have to make a judgment. This is true, this is false. And you make that judgment based on something. And of course, the wise thing to do is to base it upon thus saith the Lord. I know this is right because this is what God says. I know this is wrong because this is what God says. So we make a judgment. And again, that judgment is based upon what does the Lord say. This is the knowledge that this unction or this anointing gives us. In Leviticus chapter 10, Leviticus 10 and verse 10, it says, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. He says, you put a difference between what is holy and what is unholy. And that's the problem today. Many today are trying to mingle the two. They are trying to mingle what is holy with what is unholy, or vice versa. But we are to put a difference between what is holy and what is unholy. Well, who's to say what's holy? Who's to say what's unholy? God's already said it. God's already determined that. All we have, our responsibility is not to determine what is holy and what is unholy. God's already determined that. Our responsibility is just to follow what God says. And I believe this is part of the knowledge that God gives to his people. There is a desire. There is a desire to know what is holy and be able to separate that from what is unholy. When the Lord saves an individual, the moment they are saved, the very second they are saved, they are concerned about holiness. Now, if they lose that concern, something terrible has happened. But the very moment someone is saved, they are concerned about holiness. And they want to know the difference. And to some degree, they know the difference between what is holy and what is unholy. Notice in Leviticus 11, verse 47, to make a difference, we're to know the difference, we're to make a difference between the unclean and the clean. That is, you do not, you're to make a difference. You do not treat them as if they are one and the same, because they're not. They're never one and the same. That which is unclean, that which is clean. You make a difference between those two things, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. In other words, you make a difference to what God says is okay and what God says is wrong. You make a difference. You make a difference between those two things. You do not try to bring them together. You do not try to make them coexist. You make a difference between those things. And again, I believe it's God, the anointing, that gives us this knowledge, and this knowledge is a discernment. It is the ability to know the difference, and this knowledge enables us to make a difference between that which is holy and that which is unholy. Discernment is absolutely necessary. And no matter how much people despise the teaching, the Christian life is the most precise life that there is. And there is a standard for it, and that standard is the Word of God. And we have an unction from the Spirit of God. We have a knowledge. We know the difference between right and wrong. We know the difference between holy and unholy. The very Spirit of God within us. When we commit sin, the Spirit of God convicts us. When there is error being preached or taught, the Holy Spirit of God, if we're listening, tells us that is wrong. That is wrong, and then he will give us scripture to know why it is wrong. So we have a knowledge. The Christian life is a life of knowledge. It's not a life of ignorance. The people of today's world would have the world believe that the most ignorant people on the face of the earth are those who claim to know Jesus Christ. But in truth, it's just the opposite. The truth is, a child of God knows some things that the world, with all their education and with all their book learning and with all their teaching, can never, ever know. Only the Spirit of God shows these things. So the life of a child of God is a life of knowledge. Now notice in 1 John, if we go back there, the book of 1 John, we see this word know is all through the book. He's writing not because they don't know the truth, but because they know. And he reminds them over and over the things they know. And he reminds them how they can know. In verse 2, he says of 1 John chapter 3, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." In other words, we don't know that fully. And why don't we know that fully? Because we don't need to. If the Spirit of God does not reveal certain things, it's because you and I do not need to know them. He goes on, he says, "But we know." We know. How do they know? They know because of this unction. They know because of this anointing. We know that when he shall appear. So, we know that he's going to appear. Child of God knows that. He may not know the difference between post-trib, pre-trib, mid-trib, but he knows that Jesus Christ is going to appear. And he also knows that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. These are things that we know. Goes on in verse 5, and we know, and ye know, that he was manifested to take away our sins, speaking of Christ, and in him is no sin. You know why he came into this world, and you know that in him is no sin. You know these things. You know these things because of the unction, because of the anointing of the Spirit of God. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that. Something that dramatic cannot happen in your life and you not be aware of it. A passing from death unto life. We know. Now, we know this because we love the brethren. Love for the brethren is a characteristic of those who have passed from death unto life. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. In other words, he has not passed from death unto life. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We know that we are of the truth. We can know truth, and we can know that we know the truth. Now, the world says that's arrogance. But no, it's not arrogance. It's knowing. It's just simply knowing. In verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know. We know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. We know. So over and over in 1 John, we see that there are things that we just know. And how do we know it? We know it by the unction. We know it by this anointing which we have received. 1 John 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. In other words, the Spirit of God takes the things of Christ, shows us the things of Christ, never denies Christ, never demeans Christ, never takes away from Jesus Christ, but that which is not of the Spirit attacks Jesus Christ and takes away. But by this we know. We know the Spirit of God. You and I can know that. 1 John 4 and verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is of that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We can know that we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. We also know that we know we are, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In other words, we're able to distinguish between the two. Chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Again, by this we know. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may know. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, we not only know that we have eternal life, we can also know that he hears us. We know these things. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So we see again, it's all about, 1 John is all about knowing. It's about a knowledge. Verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. We know this. In other words, what that's talking about is the new nature within us. That new nature does not sin. We know. These are things that the child of God knows. So the Christian life is a life of knowledge. And it's not a knowledge based upon our IQ. It's not a knowledge based upon our intelligence. It's a knowledge based upon an unction, upon an anointing, upon the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and teaching us. And when the Holy Spirit teaches us something, we know. We know that it is so. So the further along we get in the Christian life, the more sure we should be. The more certain we should be of the truths of the Lord. So again, it's not a life of ignorance. It is a life of knowing. Knowing things that the world will never know. Knowing things that the world has never, ever heard. The smartest people in the world today have not heard what you and I have heard. They do not know what you and I and all children of God know. Let's look to the Lord.